Welcome today. So this is the third time Garage is presenting at Fosdem. Usually it's either Quentin or Alex. This time it's me. I'm not part of the original developer group. I'm actually more like a contributor, and I'm part of the Duffler Association, which is shepherding the Garage project. So I can't answer deep code questions, but I've been handling the community channel for quite a while, for people who knows me. And I think it's interesting for us to have a checkpoint today, after 5 years of Garage, on where we are and what you can do with it. So let's get going. Duffer, just a small word on it, we are a French association. So it's just a group of people. We try to promote digital sovereignty and privacy. And of course, that goes towards self-hosting as an alternative to big cloud providers. This means that because we do self-hosting, we need resiliency, and that means that we get good uptime and relatively low supervision and the low manpower that goes with volunteer work. For anybody that needs to catch up, what is Garage exactly? Why is it different? Garage is a self-hosted drop-in replacement for the AWS S3. Protocol, I mean, AWS Object Store in general, but also there's a ton of product now that use that protocol. It is a bit different because it mainly implements resiliency through geographical redundancy. So the idea was to use not to put stuff in a data center with redundant power, redundant connectivity, and instead to use smaller machines in a location that do not have redundancy, like your apartment or like a shared location, and to implement the resiliency on top of that. So meaning that you have multiple geographical copy of the data, and then if one location goes down, then you can just access it in another location. So you can use it to host a website. We host at Duffler more than 600 websites on Garage for quite a while now. You can store media, pictures, videos as well. You can use it for PeerTube as a backend. And a ton of people are using it as well as a backup target. So classical S3 protocol usage. Why is Garage different? There's a ton of other S3 implementation out there. Garage is a bit different because it's coordination free, meaning that we don't have a central elected master. There is no election going on. Every request, basically, we need to get consensus from the cluster, and that makes it extremely resilient to latency. I'm going to talk a bit about that later, but that's the main difference. We do not have a raft, we do not have elections, and that also creates some constraints on how the clusters are managed. But the benefit is that it's extremely beneficial for a situation where you have high latency between nodes, because the lack of elections will mean that basically every request is going to give you the best latency. This is a quite old graph at this point. I didn't rerun the testing, but the point still stands. Basically, here what it shows you is that when you operate on objects in Garage, then you're going to get latency. When you have high node-to-node latency, and we're talking about 100 milliseconds, so this is not data center latency, this is like almost Europe and US latency, you get much better latency on some operations, and that's what really where the architecture is about, because other solutions are much more optimized if you want to just like put stuff in a rack and then have just like horizontal scaling that is very located, physically speaking. So the consistency model is not ACID. We only have read after write consistency, which is still better than eventual consistency. I think that's as well what S3 had initially on AWS originally. I think they improved a bit their model since then, but they still say that they have read after write consistency. It might be better. But yeah. We talked about geographical deployments. Garage has a zone concept, that allows you to spread your deployment across different zones, which are geographical locations. And then you can have multiple nodes per location. So you can have, for example, 3 locations, and then have 2 nodes in one location, 3 nodes in another location. Allows you to scale a bit the cluster as well. What makes Garage a bit different? So I already talked about it. It's really the geographical distribution aspect. Here we can see an example that you could have with multiple zones, one in the UK, one in France, one in Belgium, one in Germany, and one in Switzerland. And you can see that the chunks of data are actually spread. So this cluster has a replication factor set to 3. And you can see that the blue chunk is actually replicated in Belgium, in France, and in Switzerland. But the red chunk is actually replicated in Germany, in France, and in the UK. So on top of the cluster, you have a replication factor. And then that replication factor would basically govern all of the copies of the data that happens in the cluster itself. This is a quite old compatibility list. We have more now. But these are some of the software that you can find that are using S3 for storage. And that can be configured to use Garage. Again, because some software have hard-coded dependency to Amazon S3, they are not always compatible. But more and more software now are becoming compatible with self-hosted S3 alternative. So this list is ever-expanding. You can find a more up-to-date list on the website. We have a section in here called integrations, where you can basically list all of the software that has been tested with configuration samples for them to help you get started. So nothing was new at this point. All of this was from other Garage talks. Now this is the new content. This is just a short history with the roadmap that we had so far. So the initial beta release was in 2021. With the actual first release version that we told people to use in 2022. And then we had the first stable release in 2024. There was a nice talk done by Alex at Fosdem that was announcing this. V1 has been here for quite a while. I was talking with Alex yesterday, we decided to deprecate it this summer, 1 year after we released the 2.0 version. But right now, we're still maintaining it. And then the 2.0 was released a couple of months ago. It actually doesn't have a ton of breaking changes, but it has a brand new HTTP administration API, which is one of the reasons why we had to release a new major version. And then we changed the old replication mode setting to split it between the replication factor and the consistency policy. So that made things a bit more configurable for you to pick your replication and your consistency factor differently. We are thinking about releasing a 3.0 version. We are really thinking about versioning support. Garage does not support right now S3 versioning, which is a huge issue for a lot of software that relies on it. So there's a couple of things like that, versionings, tags on buckets, object retention policies. Those are things we are thinking about. We are not making any promises, but they are our objectives for the 3.0 version. Okay, so now one thing I wanted to do for quite a while is to spend some time on best practices for Garage deployments. We have a ton of people asking us questions, and it's sometimes a bit clunky. So I have a couple of slides for that, and then we can either do a quick demo or I can take questions. So the things you should know, if you don't know Garage yet, we don't have TLS support within Garage. So Garage allows you to configure a website endpoint, and that website endpoint is plain HTTP. It is by design. We intend you to do your own certificate management and outside of Garage. And so it means that you have to set up your own proxy. We have documentation for Nginx, for Kadi, and a couple of others. Usually, it's not really a big issue. But it's something that we made that choice consciously back then. We don't have yet S3 anonymous access, which causes issue for some softwares. Basically, we advise you to use a website endpoint for that. But not all software match to use that way. So it's something that we're thinking about. I think there is an issue right now about it, and I was discussing with Alex. We might have a PR coming in a couple of months, and it might require us to release a new major version. We're not sure yet. Due to the lack of, like I said, like cluster management or elections, we don't have a way to kind of like automatically configure the cluster. And so that roles always fall back to the operator. So that means that when you create a cluster, the nodes can discover themselves, but they will not auto-configure themselves because the cluster layout that you will configure, which determine which nodes does what, is something that needs to be done by a central authority that we don't have. So this can be done by interacting with any node. But the it falls back basically on an operator to do that. And that operator can be either human, you can do that manually with a CLI, or you can also build your own script or operator in the Kubernetes sense of a way to do that for you if you want. A couple of people in the community have done that. And then you can automate cluster setup that way. The replication factor is something that is defined at cluster creation, and that we strongly advise not to change. There are unsupported procedures to do that, but please don't try it. We had issues in the past, and it's very annoying to recover a cluster in that state. So basically what we advise is really think about your replication factor first, and then if you need to change it, just spin up another cluster and copy your data. Common pitfall, the default region in Garage is Garage, not US East one. Very common issues. And then we had a discussion with Alex as well yesterday, and he was saying that really from his own experience as well, salvaging clusters from people that mail us after disasters, do not use the degraded consistency policy, really only use it for data recovery. You don't use it for like a regular cluster. Voila. I had a lot of questions along the last 2 years on what hardware people should use. We really built Garage to tailor any hardware, but it works best on some hardware, at least. Those things are pretty obvious, I think, for most people in the storage community, but they might be not necessarily obvious for people that just want an S3 storage store and they don't really know a lot about storage. So the first rule when you start to use storage is to not put your storage backend on something like NFS or SMB. It's a recipe for disaster. So please don't do that, especially for the metadata folder. Database on SMB on NFS don't tend to perform really well, and sometimes they have bizarre issues, especially when you cut the network. So don't do that, please. Get a write intensive flash disk for the metadata folder. To be honest, like anything flash should work for like very, very small use case. But if you have any serious use and if you have a relatively big cluster, especially if you have nodes that come and go, Garage actually uses the metadata database to store queues of blocks that needs to be resynced. And those queues can be very, very write intensive. I can tell you that at Duffer, we had normal SSDs, like Samsung like retail SSDs, and we wore them out in less than 2 years. They basically reached out their wear leveling. So try to find something a bit flash, like geared toward a write intensive workload, and keep an eye on the wear leveling of your drives. We advise to as well use RAID 1 for that, and to use a copy and write file system to do snapshotting. You can also enable compression. You get a bit more latency, but it basically compresses very well, as most database does. Get HDDs or flash for your data folder. Use XFS for your data folder. Garage creates a lot of small files, so you need something that has a lot of inodes. And here you have a choice. We have a multi-HDD mode for the best performance. So Garage will basically take each drive independently. And then your replication can be basically geographical. Like you don't need to have multiple replicas in the same zone if you can retrieve them from another location. If you really don't want to think about it, you can use red, any kind of red below it, ZFS or MDADM works best. But you will leave a lot of performance on the table because your IOPS will basically be limited by the array. Well, on the CPU and the RAM, we don't need that much. Of course, depending on the use case, if you have a cluster with 1 petabyte of data, having a bit of RAM will help for the metadata. About metadata, we have multiple metadata engine in Garage. Basically, the metadata is three things: that all of the mapping between the like the files and the blocks. It's also the bucket, the access on all of that stuff. But also any file that you upload to the cluster that are below 3 kilobytes will actually be stored in the metadata engine itself and not on disk. So it's something good to know. If you store a ton of small files, you might not see those blocks in the data folder. They will be on the metadata side. We had multiple engine along the years. SLED has been removed after 1.0. If you haven't done that, we need to migrate. We have a tool for that. It's basically take your node down, execute a migration, and then put it back up. The two mains that we have right now are SQLite, which is the safest one. It is recommended for small clusters. It has a couple of performance issues, but it works. It's pretty rock solid in terms of power loss and data consistency. And then LMDB is a bit faster than SQLite. It's better for big clusters. However, we had a couple of clunky issues along the years. If you have an unreadable port, then I strongly suggest use a UPS with LMDB, or that you backup frequently. LMDB has also a limit for the key size that has been hidden by a couple of people using backup services. So the maximum length of a usable key is 480 bytes with LMDB. So if you need long keys, you might have to use SQLite. And then we had a newcomer, which is FJOL, which is experimental at this point, but it's already in the code base, so you can try it and let us know what you think. The metadata engine can be done node per node, like there is no real restrictions. You can have a couple of nodes using a SQLite and a couple of nodes using LMDB, no issue with that. We really thought Garage to be something that was meant to be geo-distributed, but following the MinIO people change of heart, let's call it like that, we had a ton of people asking us for single node deployments, which are a bit clunky because it's really meant to be a cluster. Of course, if you have a single node, you will lose resiliency. Make sure you have backup for your metadata. If you use LMDB with single node and you have a power cut, you might end up with a corrupted database, and it's very annoying to recover from that. We really don't have a way to rebuild the metadata from the data. So you will have to basically, you will potentially lose some data if you do that. Like, you will at least lose all of the file names and any file that might be stored. So we advise you to use SQLite if you do that, potentially put a UPS on top. Some people really have super flaky power, and their nodes really crash like every 2 days. And the chances for you to have a corruption with that is relatively high. Right now, the experience to set up Garage on a single node is a bit long. There's a ton of command and setup that needs to be done. Someone from the community actually put together a bit of a wrapper for that. We might actually integrate that into Garage itself. So I was discussing with Alex yesterday, and we were thinking about integrating like a Garage serve dash dash single node that would basically do a single node setup. So that might come in the following month. Multi-node deployments, geo-distributed zones, try to have at least three. Keep in mind your network and I/O. We had people build very, very big clusters on top of DSL, effectively, and then they lose a node and they have to rebuild it, and it takes literally half a month. So be careful about that. You can easily accumulate data and then keep an eye on how long it will take for you to recover from that. Please set up monitoring. If you don't have that, it's very hard to understand what's happening. You can get some insight, but it's difficult. To give you a bit of an idea, Duffler has been running a 9 terabyte cluster, which is three nodes and two nodes, so three locations, replication set to three, over regular fiber across Europe, via between Lyon and Brussels and a bit of Brittany as well. We heard that there are tons of bigger clusters out here, up to the petabyte, but we don't really have a lot of data because we don't have any telemetry in the product by design, so we don't know. Tell us if you have big clusters. We're interested. I'm going to go a bit faster, even. I don't think we're going to have time for the demo. But we, on deploying, really use whatever you want. Garage is a single binary. We compile it. We went to great length to compile it statically, so you can really just drop it on the system. You can also use Docker. We have Kubernetes and console integrations for node discovery, but you will have to set them out manually or write a script on an operator to do that. You can use something called gateway nodes, which don't store anything, but can kind of like gear your request toward the best node for load balancing. And if you find the default settings or default resync time to be a bit conservative, you can adjust the resync tranquility, which is basically how much time Garage sleeps between between resync operations to avoid overloading the cluster as a whole. There is a Kubernetes storage controller that is in the work as well from the community, so you can take a look at that if you run Kubernetes. We have someone from the community that created a UI this year. It's already usable. It leveraged the admin API. So thanks to them. I forgot to put the name in here. I should have, actually. But it's all here. You can find it. And then we also have an official UI coming later this year that will be embedded within the product itself. So those are mockups for now. But this is very actively being worked on, thanks to some funds that you got from NLNet this year. So voila. I want to do a short pass on the Garage metrics. So this is what you get if you provision the default dashboard. Really, the two things that you need to be aware of are those two things here. So the resync queue length and the resync error blocks. If those two shut up, it means that you have issues because your clusters cannot sync blocks correctly across the clusters. The rest are not necessarily I mean, they're important, but they give you more insight on the information. One thing that a lot of people don't know is that Garage, for safety reasons, don't delete blocks right away if you delete a file. So if you delete a file in the Esper API, Garage will actually wait almost 24 hours before actually removing the block from storage. So if you create and remove a lot of files, then potentially you might see your storage going up for a while because Garage will not remove those yet. So the table GCQ length has a bit of that as well. Like, it will show you the blocks as they're removed by Garage across time. What if things go wrong? Enable the debug logs. We had a ton of people with authentication issues because of the S3 way of signing a request. So be careful about your reverse proxy configuration. Check your tranquility if you think the resyncs are slow. And then LMDB has a bad tendency to kind of like being bloated up as time goes on. You can just shut down your Garage node, do an MDB copy with the C parameter to compact it, and then it will go back to a normal size. We take questions on the Garage Matrix channel in English, and you can log issues as well on git.deflower.fr, which is our 4GJO instance. We also have a mirror of the code on GitHub, but it's basically just here for the people that want it on GitHub. We don't take issues there. And then if you open an issue, if you have any problem, please provide the output of Garage status and then Garage stats as well. If you're moving from main.io, I don't think I will have time to do a demo, but basically the idea is that you need to list your buckets on keys, and then you create those buckets on the Garage cluster. Right now, you will have to create new keys because Garage enforces that the key starts with a specific string. We will put a PR soon to basically add a parameter to skip that and use Garage key import to basically import your own key. And then you just loop over the buckets with AirClone, and then you just copy the data. I thought a blog post would actually be better for this, as I don't have time for a demo here. And that's it, I think. I can do some demo. Does that include questions? Does that include questions? Or?
Yeah, that's your whole slot.
OK, so that's 5 minutes for questions then. Ooh. Yeah, so the question is, do you need gateway nodes within a cluster? The response is no. Any nodes that can take requests. Gateway nodes are only here for helping, basically. They have a copy of the metadata in the cluster, and they are able to direct. So what might happen if you hit any nodes is that you will bounce. Like, the nodes might not have a copy of data, and it might go elsewhere. And so you lose one RTT in latency. What you can do is you can run a gateway locally. And then that way, you can just talk to the gateway locally, and the gateway will basically ban you directly to the correct node. So that's much faster in that regard. One caveat, though, is that gateway nodes are fully part of the cluster itself. And so they basically have full access to the entire cluster. So that means that whatever, if you're running a gateway locally, then you have to trust that compute to because it basically has full unvetted access to the entire cluster. Yes? OK, so the question is, we're doing a lot of block writes and
synchronous
block writes, yeah? How to optimize that, especially if you have something like ZFS that has a block size. So that's a good question. I think, I don't know what LMDB use by default. I would assume it's something that's 16K or similar. That's usually common for databases. For the metadata, so that depends a bit on what you pick. For the data itself, so Garage has a block size setting, and it will effectively split any incoming file up to that block size. So if you have a block size set to, I think the default is 1 megabyte, any file that is below 1 megabyte will store it in a single chunk, so it will appear as one file on your data folder. And if you have a file that is above that, like, then it will be split in multiple chunks. We actually advise to raise that block size because there's no real consequences. The only consequences are the additional buffers, because when Garage handles blocks, it handles them one by one. So the bigger you block, the more memory you need. And also, like, within RPC calls, because it's block by block, then your RPC calls will last longer, but that's more or less it. So big clusters really go up in block size between sometime like 10 megabytes or even 50 megabytes. If you store a lot of big content, like people storing video content, can go very high, and that gives them a lot of more bandwidth for that.
Metadata folder would be only used by LMDB, for example, or SQLite, or does it have other files that you write?
So the question is, what is the metadata folder used for? And it's really only used for that and a couple of static configuration files, like the layout configuration as well.
So it's just a matter of tuning for the database you're using rather than...
Yeah, so the metadata folder needs to be basically tuned for the metadata engine that you're using.
You mentioned that blocks are directly deleted when a file is deleted. Is it possible to undelete a file in that period?
So the question is, blocks are not necessarily deleted right away when you delete the file in S3. Is it possible to recover that? Right now, I don't think it is. I mean, technically, the blocks are still on disk, but the metadata has been deleted. So, I mean, one thing, though, is if you have a metadata snapshot, then you would be able to restore that and then to just give a block to Garage and then rescan the blocks, and it will just connect again. Yes? So the question is, did we consider implementing a recycle bin? This basically would be implemented by S3 versioning. Mm-hmm. Yes?
If you are implementing versioning, we also implement object locking.
So the question is, if we implement versioning, will we be also implementing object locking? I need to look into it. I think it's something that we haven't done yet, but that's something that's is high in demand by a lot of backup software that use it for ransomware protection. So, yeah. And the time's up. You can find me. I will be hanging around. You can find me for more questions.